Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Which one's Dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
So I noticed with the Dusty and Cam song there, after you hear Pauly Shore say, which one's Dusty, which one's Krusty?
Well, which one is Krusty? Good morning.
I think it's you.
That's an understatement.
But then the guy singing, after you hear Pauly Shore's voice, the guy singing sounds like Pauly Shore.
Yeah, he sounds like he's a little bit.
Yeah. Good morning. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hara. Welcome to Wednesday edition. Every morning so far this week, you've come in again. I have no idea what day it is. We did Case of the Mondays yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
So
because none of us were here on, except Buck. Buck was here. His Case of the Mondays was no one else was here but him.
That worked out well. Good morning, sir, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So I told you as I got in here, I had something happen to me last night. So I worked out.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I worked out. Did some exercise. I ran a mile. Why?
A mile.
A mile.
Okay.
Not all at once, but I did 400s in between some exercise.
Okay.
And then went and coached, and I was coaching the youth team, helping coach my son's youth team.
Okay.
Football.
CCYF?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting Clark after it.
County so youth we
were,
football.
Yes. So we were getting down in the stances, working on good footwork, because I love the offensive line. Even though I was tight end, I wanted to be a big ugly.
Did you really?
No, I totally did.
Stop throwing the football at me. I hate having the ball in my hands. It's so much fun.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love you. You love playing tight end because you get to do the best of both.
It was sure.
Like, oh, you get to be an offensive lineman, and then you can be wide receiver, and then you can kind of be like a fullback because then you're blocking because I did a lot of H-back also. But anyway, the big uglies are awesome. I love them.
Okay.
There are five of them. Every single game, there's five of them out there together.
Yeah. It's a unit.
It's the it's the best position in football.
Ugh.
You may not like it.
That
everyone says
you're
kind of by yourself. If you're a quarterback, you're by out there on your island. If you're a wide receiver, one running back. But that offensive line, they're always together. They're joined at the hip. So we're working on footwork. And I'm like, oh, we can do some footwork. I was looking great. Feet were great.
Your feet were better than,
the
youth of Clark County.
Feet were just sharp up.
The former NFL player, a little sharper than the kids that don't know the footwork.
So as you age... As you age, things happen to your body that you just like, oh, but your mind doesn't go, mine's solid. Yeah. So I get home, shower, get ready to go to bed, and please tell me that this has happened to all of you. The nightmare cramp of all cramps that sends you jumping out of your bed, and it doesn't go away for probably 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was right in the corner of the hamstring where the knee bends. So when you flex the knee, then the quad goes. And then you flex the quad, and then the hamstring goes again.
Yep.
It was the endless, and it felt like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it reminded me of training camp where you just go into immediate convulsions of cramping.
So I had cramps.
Mind you how old there is.
This weekend in my leg while I was sleeping. But the problem was we were camping. So we're in the tent.
Oh, you real camped or you glamped?
Oh, I camp.
Oh, you don't glamp?
No.
No RV? No.
My brother had the RV.
Oh, then.
So like 20.
Set you in the tent.
Well, this camping trip that we go on every year, it was this last weekend. There was like 25 of us. We've had as many as 40. We get 5 or 6 campgrounds in one spot, all up on Hood Canal, right on the water. We go collect a bunch of oysters, a bunch of clams. I was trying to think of what I did. I mean, I walked 18 holes in the morning, and then I was laying there.
You got old is what happened.
Well, so I'm laying there, but the problem is my wife is on one side of me. What we do is we set up the tent, 2 air mattresses side by side. They completely fill the tent. I have twin daughters, almost 3, and they're on 1 air mattress, and then my wife is behind me on the same air mattress as me, and I'm in the middle of everybody. Mm. Well, one of the girls decides that she can't sleep, so she gets up in the middle of the night and crawls right next to me. So she's laying on top of me basically to sleep. And then her sister goes, oh, well, I don't want to be far away from my sister. So she climbs over and then she needs to be right next to me. So I have 2 children essentially laying on top of me. And so now I'm trying to adjust as gingerly as I can because I'm up against my wife and my 2 daughters. So I'm going, all right, how do I get comfortable?
I mean, you're not screaming and reeling in pain.
Well, so I'm trying to just.
Oh, just quietly
adjust.
Get it. No, I get
I'm just
that.
Trying
yeah.
to adjust.
Yeah.
And then my leg cramped up.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there trying not to wake up the entire tent. And I'm just like cramp. And it just won't go away. So I'm sitting there just silently holding on to it, trying to adjust the muscle. And it's in my hamstring. So then I try to straighten my leg and I finally get it. And it goes away after like 3 minutes. And then I go, ah. And I relax. And then I try to adjust again. It comes right back.
We got to be better at hydrating ourselves. I think it's hydration and then just a little bit too much exercise.
Yeah, I don't think beer counts as proper hydration.
Well, it is a fluid.
Yes, but that may have been
may have been
what did me in.
Well, so. I've always said this as you age, there's a couple things that you just have a few sports injuries that'll just pop up to you. But that there's really not a lot of worse things in life than being injured or being cramping or getting old and just having those kind of things like, oh, your mind and back. I can totally get down to 3-point stands and hit this bag and I'm going to show you boys how to drive this bag.
Yeah.
But after about 15 minutes, that was one of the dumbest things I've done in a long time. But I'm not going to let you know that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, we'll wait till the radio show where we can tell everybody.
Still got feet. I can play with it. I got one play.
Yeah, and what's is it a Toby Keith song? Not as good as I once was, but good once.
As I ever was.
I'm as good once as I ever was. Yeah.
Totally that way.
Yeah,
I got one play left in me. And then you're going to need the stretcher.
Yeah, I kind of retired from recreational sports a couple years ago. My wife and I made a deal. I was like, listen, I'm going to spend some money on some golf clubs, and I'm going to go and play a lot more golf.
Play forever.
Yeah, because
just don't play slow.
Well,
don't you play slow?
I don't need
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah,
don't you dare do that.
I imagine you're our version of Brooks Koepka around here. You're not afraid to.
Oh, I'm like pick up the damn pace.
Yeah,
but I'd be the pace setter.
Well, this is what I noticed is I was playing in a city league basketball league, and I was playing on a somewhat competitive co-ed softball team. And every time I left to play a game, my wife would go, "Don't get hurt. Don't get hurt.
Nothing like that. That's always
don't
helpful.
Get hurt." I go to play golf. She goes, have fun.
Yeah.
But if I go to play sports, because
who gets hurt playing golf?
Nobody. I haven't gotten hurt playing golf.
You ever been hit by a golf ball?
I took a golf ball. So we're playing on, I don't know.
Obviously, this is a yes question because you're going to tell me the story now.
playing with 4 buddies.
Yeah.
And we're playing on a par 4. And one of the guys hit a short drive. He goes, hits his next shot, kind of duffs it. So then we're all like, all right, well, we're going to go to our balls and hit. So I throw my golf bag on my back, one of the double shoulder straps.
Yeah.
I'm rolling up the fairway. And he decides he's going to hit a second shot. No, he didn't even have time.
He mulliganed you?
Well,
while you're in front?
Well, yeah, but it's his second shot off the fairway. And he blades that one, too. And it goes sizzling into the middle of my golf bag.
Oh, well, that's a good thing you had that on.
I tell you what, man. It would have hit me right in the middle of the spine. So, yeah, no, it didn't actually hit me, but it hit my bag.
I drilled an old guy with a driver. Hit a nasty hook. He was on the green on the left, and I drilled him. So I thought I killed him.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. I hit him so hard, right in the middle of the chest.
Ah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He went down like he was, yeah. I mean, it was from about 200 out.
Yeah.
And it just hooked over the tree and in the green, you know, the one that goes over the top of the tree. And then he's standing there. All I hear is like, oh, my God, unaware. Bill. And he just down.
Bill's
so
dead.
So do we know, was this on a bounce or on the fly?
No, it was on the fly.
And so then I'm also wondering, what do we think the estimated miles per hour behind a golf ball?
Well,
that
I can tell you that, Ryan Buckley, because I have analytics. By the time I hit my average drive, ball speed, probably off the ball, 172, 175,
that's
somewhere
your
there.
Exit velocity.
That's off the golf club. So by the time it's getting there, I would say significantly, we're probably around the 100, 110 miles per hour, somewhere there. It was about 185, 200. And it got him. I mean, it was.
I can't
imagine.
Have
you ever seen Phil Mickelson hit people from the side and Tiger, and they have a huge goiter on their head?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's just
a
massive.
Well, didn't somebody in the Ryder Cup was it Kapka that hit somebody and fractured her eye socket?
Yeah,
it
does something crazy like that.
That's one of my fears is just getting completely blindsided too, because this guy's on the green, not suspecting anything.
Oh, no,
anything.
He's putting. No, he said, that's the problem.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, how the hell did that ball? He comes over there. He's like, I can't believe that ball made it over here.
Out of nowhere.
Welcome to golf. How many times are you standing? You know, more embarrassing when you're like, well, playing the wrong fairway.
Yeah,
it's the second fairway over.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, I was standing with my wife's uncle. I was playing with my wife's uncle and my father-in-law, and we were standing there talking, and just out of nowhere, he's just, my foot. Father-in-law sliced one off of the other side of the fairway. We were having a conversation. Ball comes out and hits him right on top of the foot. And I was like, that wasn't good. But yeah, neither of us had any indication whatsoever. We're just, you know, having a conversation. The ball comes out of nowhere.
Sports are dangerous.
That's always the fear when I go golfing, is that just somewhere out of nowhere, I'm just going to wake up and everybody's like, you okay, man?
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Are you, and this is a question for anybody that's a golfer.
Sure.
Are you a take the ball out of the fairway guy?
Wait, what?
Walking down the fairway. You see a ball. Are you taking that ball? Are you that guy? Because that's happened to me so many damn times.
No.
And I think that's a specific kind of person on the golf course.
No, I'm not that guy.
See a Titleist Pro V1.
Am I the first?
Are you walking down the fairway and you know you're at, ooh, it's crisscross. Who knows? What a ball be doing over here? You like, oh, look at that. Boom,
once
boom.
Upon a time, I was that guy. And then now I've lost enough balls in the wrong fairway. Now I just leave them alone. But the younger Luke Anderson would have picked up that ball.
It's not just younger. There are olds that do
it,
too.
No, I know. There's people that, you know.
I've been like, hey, can I check in your pocket? And they're like, oh, who is that?
Well, you know how
to. There's a red stripe on that ball. I totally was red striping it.
Well, you know how you find that old guy that does that.
Yeah.
Is it's the guy with the ball grabber. It's the guy that has the extendo pole.
Yeah, and he's ball grabbing.
Hook it out of the wall.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's how you identify the old guy. I think young golfers do that because they're poor and they don't have enough golf balls. And they're going to lose, you know, 9.
I think it's a special kind of person that takes that golf ball right out of the fairway.
Yeah, it's an immature person. Yeah. And it's
a thief.
And
it's I call that a thief.
It's cheap.
Thief.
They're cheap.
That's a thief. It's a live ball.
I understand. But you find a ball on certain courses. I used to work at Skamania Lodge. You find a ball there, nobody's looking for it. Because none of the fairways are anywhere near the other fairway.
In the last part of this, are you a brand centric? So if that's a top flight or a pinnacle, you're like,
I'll grab the pinnacle, I'll leave the top
move
flight.
Move on. But if it's a Strixon, it's right in the middle.
Bridgestone, I might grab.
No.
Yeah,
but boy, if it says Titleist, I gotta get this.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't golf well enough that I don't spend at least a little bit of time in the tall grass looking for golf balls. But yeah, if I find a top flight, a noodle, a snake eyes, I'm going to my brother and I'm just tossing it over
him. How about the Fuking long ball?
No, I have not seen.
You've
that
seen
one.
Those?
Be careful with that.
Yeah, he is. It's a very long ball.
Yeah,
Fuking long ball.
Okay,
you can check it out. They're on. They're right there. You can buy them. I think they're from Japan.
I would think
they're
so.
Supposed to be super long.
Super long.
Yeah.
Balls. Got it.
Golf balls.
Let's do the wake up call. Maybe. Kind of turned quickly on.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right, big happy birthday, the big number 60 for one Irvin Magic Johnson.
Yeah. He's Leo. Magic is 60 today. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
60?
I think I'm okay with that. I was actually a little surprised. I thought he could have been older.
Did you see what he's doing?
A long time since he played.
Did you see what he's doing in honor of his 60th birthday?
Yeah, so he put out... So Cam and I were discussing this because tomorrow...
Yeah.
Not just one list.
I don't want to bury the lead. But tomorrow is Cam Cleveland's birthday.
Yeah, nobody cares.
But yeah, but so you're turning 44.
Yeah.
So Magic Johnson, I saw he put out the one list of his 60 favorite movies.
Yep. He also put out a list of 60 favorite travel destinations.
Oh, he did travel destinations.
Apparently, he's just ripping off lists of 60 that are all ranked alphabetically.
Should we do this every time on our birthdays?
Just
do
a random list?
There are numbers 1 through 60, but you will notice, looking down the list, it's alphabetical.
Well,
so it's not really a ranking.
Well, the Godfather was his number one movie.
Right, and then after the Godfather, it starts with the A's and ends with triple X.
What? Yeah, okay. I was trying to figure out why Bad Boys was 3.
Because it starts with B-A. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, no, now I get it. I understand it now in context, but I was like, how on earth is Bad Boys number 3? So I was trying to convince Cam to make his 44 top movies for everybody. But travel destinations might be better.
Well, if I turned 44, we're going to have to figure out who wore 44 the best.
Oh, there you go. Who wore number 60 the best?
That's a great question.
Was Ray
Nitschke 60?
Ooh, that'd be...
Why popped in my head. I don't think he was.
Let's pull up Ray Nitschke real quick.
We might have to go to the break, buddy.
Well, maybe, but yeah. Whatever. We're
Damn
pulling
clock.
It up.
Who cares?
66 was 66,
Ray Nitschke. 66, that's right. Of course he was 66.
Also on this day in sports history, 1982, Pete Rose, while playing with the Philadelphia Phillies, set the all-time record for at-bats. So that's 12,365. And on this day in 1987, Mark McGwire hit his 39th home run and set the rookie home run record en route to 49.
Those are two travesties in baseball right now. Why? Those guys are not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, but they're cheaters.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anyway. They're cheaters. It doesn't matter.
You defending a giant ginger. Go figure.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Good point.
All right. We've got some NFL news and notes, updates on Andrew Luck's injury. There were some milestones passed in baseball. But it's a very rare day indeed this summer when we have to start things off with the Mariners. Had quite the game yesterday. Had a couple milestones of their own. So we'll start with the Seattle Mariners of all places. And we'll do that next right here. Dusty and Cam in the morning. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
This is carrying out towards the gap in left center field. Carrying back, and it gets over the fence, off the glove. It's a three-homer game! In unbelievable fashion, Kyle Seager becomes the 11th Mariner in franchise history with a three-homer game.
All right, that is courtesy of Route Northwest. Mariners can't lose right. What is wrong with them? Aren't they supposed to be losing all of their baseball games to get higher draft picks?
You're asking me the question as a Mariner fan. Are they supposed to be losing? They are right in the thick of mediocrity.
No, they're the bottom of the league. They can't quite even do that right. The Mariners have been in the middle of the pack for how many years where they've been 1, 2, 3 games
since
out of the wild card?
Since 2002.
Yep. Yeah. And here they are, tanking team, and they still can't win.
Well, they're the last team in the West, if that gives you anything.
It does. But they are playing the Tigers, who are the last in the Central. You're supposed to beat the Tigers. But last night was a really fun game. Twice, Kyle Seager, Tom Murphy go back-to-back home runs. Kyle Seager hits his third home run. You just heard there in the ninth off of the glove of the center fielder. Kind of a little bit of a collision out there as he snow cones the ball and just bumps it over the fence.
Made me think of probably one of the, if you remember the Jose Canseco off the forehead.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I guess it was maybe off
top
the forehead.
Head.
It was right off the top of his head. I think he was a Ranger at the time, if Jose Canseco was at that time.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. That's about one of those blunders.
Yeah.
One of those blunders because it hits the glove and you're looking at it going, Kyle Seager, who out there as a Mariner fan thought ever Kyle Seager was going to do anything ever again? He's a career 227 hitter.
He's
got 14 home runs this year. He's 31 years old. He's been playing 8 seasons. Feels like he's been in the Mariner uniform forever.
Yep.
Can't get rid of his contract.
No, but he is hitting .350 over the last 18 games. He's hit safely in 17 of 18.
Traded.
He's on his, unfortunately, we're past the trade deadline. You're supposed to do this a month and a half ago.
Well, you can't trade that contract. It's insane. Nobody wants it.
Yeah, no, but he plays it.
Is it? He's a third base.
You get the worst Seager brother.
Well, at least he stays healthy.
Yeah, I know.
No, but last night was fun. But some of the stats that popped up from last night's game are astounding. So Kikuchi goes out and he's given up home runs like crazy over the year. And right now he gave up his 30th and 31st home run of the year, tied him with Mike Leake, who was traded from the Mariners at the trade deadline, for the most home runs given up in the major leagues. Well done, Kikuchi.
Well done.
So he gives those up. Matt Boyd, who's pitching for the Tigers in that game, is right behind them with 30. Mm-hmm. So he's giving up home runs like crazy. You have back-to-back home runs twice. Tom Murphy is doing cartwheels in the dugout. It's a crazy entertaining game, but shouldn't they be losing?
Well, it's August. It's baseball. Right now, if you're looking at the National League, they are, I mean, I know Ryan's in there. He's over kind of like puffing his chest out because, you know, his team is back in the race. Everyone feels excited.
We're like four games out with like six.
You're three and a half games out. You have a month and a half left in the seat. Three and a half in the month and a half, and you don't feel confident with that?
There's like five teams ahead of us.
That's fine. You're fine. You're fine. You got two spots. All you got to do is catch the Cardinals. Okay.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the American League is 500. Giants are below 500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't feel great about that.
Well, you could be 21 and a half games out if you're my team.
That's true.
Yeah.
Who is your Mariner fan, aren't you? Yeah. Okay, so you're right there. Yeah, we're built into that mediocrity.
Hey, we're 20 games out in the division, too. I know what that feels like.
Been there. That's odd years. Feels like odd years.
Right now, they're 20 games out in the division. The Dodgers are just that good.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Great. So they'll do analytics all the way to the World Series and then go as they play the Yankees.
Well, here's another crazy.
Or Dusty's team, the Houston Astros, which I got to hear about all the flipping time.
The Astros are
astounding.
Really
good. They're good.
Well,
I mean, they're good.
How about this stat from last night? So baseball is just one of those things where, first of all, you've got all of this information going. Last night, the Dodgers and Yankees both reached 80 wins on the same night for the first time since they met in the 1953 World Series.
Ooh, are you foreshadowing?
I'm just...
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I mean, so here's the question. Would you rather see...
Yes.
Dodgers, Yankees?
I want to see East Coast, West Coast. That'd be fun.
Yeah?
That'd be
or
fun.
Would you rather see the rematch of Dodgers, Astros?
I would like to see Yankees, Astros in the ALCS. That's as selfish as I want to be.
For sure.
With that one. But Minnesota, don't sleep on Minnesota either.
Well,
but
Minnesota's not even leading the division now. The Indians
got
them.
No, the Indians are a half game out.
Okay, well, they got them yesterday.
Yeah, then.
They got them yesterday.
They just flipped again.
Yeah, just flipped. So, but they were 11 and a half games. What? 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, it felt like?
It's a foregone conclusion.
June 2nd, they were 11 and a half games out.
Feel that anybody in the National League is going to give the Dodgers any run. So I think the Dodgers run right through the National League. But as you get to the American League, it's, don't tell me that the Yankees have solid pitching. They'd be able to score like 12 runs a game.
Yeah, well, and they can if they're playing the Orioles every night. It makes it.
But that is going to be, to me, it's going to be Houston and New York and the ALCS, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah, and this is one of those baseball seasons where there's so many bad teams. I mean, there's a bunch of teams in the middle, but it feels like the separation between the top and everybody else has never been bigger. Yeah. This is kind of one of those years where you just want to just fast forward. Yep. Let's go.
I know.
Astros, Yankees.
We got a month and a half.
Let's go. And we're getting
down to it.
We'll
talk about it in October.
Yeah, we definitely will. All right. There's a little baseball talk to start things off. The holdouts are continuing for Ezekiel Elliott. There's still conversations around contract talks. People seem to think that Dak Prescott is going to get paid way too much money. So it brought up the question in our minds, what does the NFL need to do to get away from these holdouts, especially at the running back position? You had Le'Veon Bell sit out a full season. Now Zeke, with 2 years left on his contract, sitting out, are we going to be running into a 2021 lockout when they get into CBA negotiations? What does the NFL need to do to fix this, and what can they do to fix it now? That is our question for the P1 Social. 55305. Start sending your answers. We'll give you our thoughts on it next. But first, Ryan Buckley with your SportsCenter update.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This
is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
Welcome back. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Harrow one more day. Dusty's down in California hanging out with a mouse, a duck, and a... What is Goofy?
Dog. Is he a dog?
Dog.
He's a dog.
Dog?
Yeah, he's a dog.
But Pluto's
the dog. What is Goofy?
No, that's the thing. Goofy's a dog who has a dog, which is kind of weird.
No, Pluto is Mickey's dog. And he's a mouse, and somehow the dog is smaller than the mouse. So, and I'm not sure if that works. He's either a tiny dog or that's a giant mouse. Go giant mouse because he's the same size as the duck and then whatever Goofy is.
But if Pluto's a pet, then how come Goofy isn't a pet?
Because he's not a dog.
Yeah, he is.
You sure?
All right, I'm hot routing you guys. Just for that's a good point. It's good. I'm hot routing you guys for a second. I'm deviating off your Disneyland path. You had something in the update that just drove me absolutely insane.
Yeah. I'm deviating to yell at you.
Can you believe the crap that Ohio State is trying to trademark the? Do you know that crap? Okay, so
wait. You mean the Ohio State?
Yeah, they're trying to do that. It's back in my day. So when Monday Night Football was getting into, you remember when Monday Night Football had the introductions and you introduced yourself?
Yeah.
And that kind of started, gosh, I'm going to date myself, but I want to say introductions where the guys would be looking down and then they would tape us.
Yeah.
And then your eyes would look up and then you'd say.
Did they have to direct you?
Oh, God,
that?
They did. They said, look down. And then have you ever noticed how they don't just pan to a camera shot of your face like, boom, there he is.
Yeah.
They always make you slowly look up to the cameras, like look up in a slow motion. That's what the director is telling us to do. Anyway, you then have to say your school. So some of your TO, you'd say your high school, Tennessee, sure. Chattanooga, or your community
that's
college.
Where he went. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then guys would start going with the Ohio State. So I played with Mike Vrabel and then Orlando Pace and a bunch of these Ohio State guys were like, what the hell are you saying the Ohio State for?
Yeah.
So then you notice how everybody started copying it?
Well, and it's like Miami players saying the arrogant. U.
Yes. The university.
Yeah.
The Oregon State University.
The Ohio State University is the only one that they do.
And
do
you know what
arrogant.
Someone tried to tell me why they say the Ohio State University?
No.
Because their logic is that within the state of Ohio, there's so many football universities and so many schools within that time that they had to make sure that they differentiated themselves from everybody else. Because if you said Ohio, University of Ohio, Ohio State, Toledo, all these other things, Bowling Green, all these other schools they wanted to do, this is the Ohio State University. They had to be specific.
Yeah, are there multiple? Because like Washington State has a Vancouver campus.
Yeah, but I think there's so many schools within there that are Division I football or that are, because Ohio's got, I mean, it's the birthplace of football. I mean, when you think of it, it's a great state. Trademark? The?
Yeah, I don't.
It just sounds so, it was so pompous. We'd throw donuts to those guys every time they were doing that.
And I like the quote from the spokesman who says, like other institutions, Ohio State works vigorously to protect the university's brand and trademarks. These assets hold significant value, which benefit our students and faculty and the broader community by supporting our core academic mission of teaching and research.
Yeah. Urban Meyer left the Ohio State University under controversy for defending someone with domestic violence.
Ohio State.
Yeah. Zach Smith was fired from the Ohio State University. The Vest was fired from the Ohio State University for a tattoo scandal. Yeah, see how it works?
There you go.
Yeah. So,
all right, sorry. I said that off my chest.
No, you're perfectly fine. I think that's quite appropriate. That's kind
all right,
of
so
ridiculous.
We can go to NFL now. It's all right.
No, you're good. Over the past however many years, we've been kind of running into these holdouts. I'm a Seahawks fan. I think you are as well. You run into it with, you know, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, these training camp holdouts. And we're seeing it more and more and earlier. And Zeke is holding out. Ezekiel Elliott is holding out with 2 years left on his contract, demanding to be the highest paid running back in the NFL.
We're going to say that the entire show. Anytime you say, you have to say the.
Well, yeah, you better get it out of your system because pretty soon it's going to be trademarked.
Yeah,
you're not going to be allowed
to say it. So it just got us to wondering, what is the solution? 2021, they're going to go back and they're going to renegotiate the CBA. And you wonder if we're going to run into an NFL lockout, which it isn't going to crush the sport, but it's going to affect a ton of people if they end up missing any games because of it. And I think that right now, you brought this up yesterday when we were talking about contracts, is NFL players are seeing what's happening in baseball, mm-hmm. $300 million contracts, all guaranteed for Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Nolan Arenado, whoever, right? In the NBA, you're seeing guys controlling their own fate, right? Picking and choosing where you want to go. Yep. You have the franchise tag that is a part of this, where guys want to get long-term contracts built in so they don't have to deal
with... But it works against players.
Well,
franchise tag has been nothing but be a detriment for players.
Well, and that's why they want to get mm-hmm. these long-term contracts signed early. I mean, Dak Prescott is a guy right now that's asking for $35 or $40 million, even though... He knows that if he goes through the franchise tag, he'll get that money, but it's not going to be any security for him. So what's your solution?
Well, it's not just a solution. It's kind of is driving a wedge between fans and athletes even further and further, because no matter how you look at it from every sport. Now, talk about all these sports, the big three or the big four, because you include NHL in there. I don't hear of any other sport having the kind of holdouts that NFL does. Yeah. And the only reason is because the guys understand that their careers are so short. But then the fan side and everybody that's watching it goes, well, that's why we love it. We love it because the intensity, everything means so much. Guys are in and out, 100% injuries. So what do you look at? I've always said this before, is that all this money is earmarked for players. What should a player do in the NFL? What's your last resort? Withhold your service.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't have that. Guaranteed contracts, and no matter that Damian Lillard signs a $192 million extension, there's going to be naysayers up and down. He's not worth it. And then there's other ones that say... Have you ever had a guy be a top flight player in the NFL and you just sit there and go, wow, he's underpaid? Melvin Gordon is going to make $1 million this year.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon. Is that underpaid?
The year that Russell Wilson won the Super Bowl, made $600,000 a year.
So everyone feels pretty comfortable. It's like, oh, you can only win when your quarterback's on a rookie contract. Now Dak Prescott's getting here and he's, you know, the whole organization is just, I mean, they are just floundering. Because they have all these guys with this top money and they got to offer all this money and they're not going to be able to pay everybody. I'm at that point where we watch the NFL. The NFL's model is continually moving towards this is the last resort for guys. Their holdouts are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you as a fan are going to get more tired of hearing about players wanting more money because you just want to watch good football.
Yeah.
But that's not where we're at anymore.
Yeah.
We're now about these contracts.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a lot of effect and there's a lot of pressure on it from outside sports. 55305 is a Better You Today text line. Send your thoughts our way. We will get to those and we'll see if we can come up with any solutions in our own minds. We do that next. P1 Social on Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hara. He'll be back tomorrow. Right now we're talking about the CBA contract holdouts. If there are any solutions that the NFL can come up with, Cam, you mentioned it, that the problem right now with a holdout for a player like Zeke is it drives a wedge between players and fans. And obviously that's not the intent of the players. They're just trying to do what they can to get paid. The running back position is being devalued at every turn. You have a running back by committee on most teams, it feels like. And
does it change your mindset when I tell you that Ezekiel Elliott is making $3 million compared to making $19 million or 17 and 18? Like Le'Veon Bell sits out.
Yeah, for a full season.
Right. Is suddenly he has 380 touches per season, mm-hmm. and you go, wow, look at the kind of fantasy football production this guy gets.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. He's making $6 million. Suddenly he gets $17.5-18 million. Do you as a mindset, as a fan, immediately go, all that money, and you love that when someone says that? We are giving him.
We.
No, you're not giving him anything.
Yeah.
But does that change the way Ezekiel Elliott's production in your mind? Does that value? How do you justify that value based on a cap number that the league has set, the owners has set at $192 million? They've given you this parameter to live in.
Yeah,
but the way you look at it from a running back standpoint or an athlete standpoint is that's still the same guy. It's still the same player. Whether they get paid a certain amount is based upon what the league has told you is too much.
Yeah. Well,
that's the brainwashing that goes on.
Now it's brainwashing, but it's also different priorities, right? As a fan, you just want your Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. Get back to the Super Bowl.
Are you a better team with or without? That's how you have to ask this.
Yeah.
What is the number?
Well,
there's this magic number out there, and I guarantee you if I put all this salary capologist kind of information in front of everybody, it's tons of algorithms and there's small little minutiae in there that you would never even understand. Nobody would even be able to explain it.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. I mean, that's why you have agents and general managers.
Correct.
And you have an entire front office that's working on
figuring
out the best way to do it.
But it's been a detriment, and that's why I say all this stuff is these holdouts and these things that are happening to players and stuff, it's taking away from the fan that I look at it and go, you start seeing numbers. And you don't even look at what these players are doing anymore.
Yeah, well, and you also see a guy, you're like, well, everybody else is playing on their rookie deals. How is it, you know, why is it this guy is being greedy and needs to get more? What makes him so special that he deserves to go out? And that's not the way I feel about it necessarily, but there is that kind of feeling around it. But the other thing too, and somebody brings it up on the Better You Today text line, is, you know, you look around where, let me see if I can find that. I'm sure playing in Jerry World doesn't help any of these guys look around and see billions of dollars being made 100%. On their home stadium where they report to work every day. I would be resentful too. I mean, that's the other thing is in the CBA, the owners are able to take off stadium revenue before they do a revenue split, which is only has to be 47%. So you look
it's 40%, 47% of television revenue. That's it.
Yeah, so that's players what I'm saying. You take off stadium revenue, comes off of that, and you look around and you're in this palace of football, but people are coming out to watch you. So I look at it from the player side, and I'm sure, of course, you do, being a former player, and look at it and go, how is this fair? Oh, but as fans, we go, just get out of there and play. That's your job.
I'm not even worried about what's fair. I've never kind of thought about, oh, that's not fair. I'm not making, I hate that word.
Yeah.
If I'm a high-performing player and I am exceeding my value based upon either touches or production, I want to be compensated for my talent.
Yeah,
it's not that it's about fair. Is that the only thing I can do as a professional athlete is withhold my services. But then this text comes in and says, which a lot of people think this, but I want to go into the fallacies of sports. He signed a contract. Live up to your contract. Yeah. Better you today. There's no contracts in sports, guys.
Yeah,
there isn't.
Well, they're not guaranteed in the NFL. The team can cut you at any point.
Any point in time. Guaranteed money is what you're looking for. Ezekiel Elliott got his guaranteed money from his second round or for his second pick overall, but that's it.
Yep.
Okay, guys, don't honor contracts. The NFL's never honored contracts, ever, in the history of its sport. In fact, they struck in 1987 and then again in 1993. There's no there's this mindset, oh, you signed this contract, and it's – no, every every contract is year to year in the NFL.
Well, there's another thought here on the text line. Don't forget, the common fan doesn't even make $100,000 in a year's time. Jealousy doesn't help people sympathize with the players. Because you brought it up. Is it fair that he's making $5 million this year when clearly based on the league standard he should be making 15? I mean, there's so many people that look at it and those numbers in our head, if you know, as a common fan, oh, if I could make $5 million, I'd be the first one there and the last one to leave.
I know it's hard. It's hard to get out of here. It's hard to wake up every day and go, I wish I wasn't making $5 to $10 to $30 million.
Being a star and being a celebrity.
I understand it's difficult because the common person or the everyday American might be making $40,000 to $75,000. Going, these guys are complaining because they're not making 30.
Yeah.
Where they're not getting from $6 million to $18 million, it's just the perspective of an athlete.
Well, yeah.
You live in such a small 1%. I don't empathize with anyone that tries to compare themselves to athletes because that's not realistic. Get out of your – you just stop saying that to your mind.
But you played –
why do I compare – I'm not going to walk around compare myself to Bill Gates or RIP Paul Allen. Yeah. Why do you think of that? Well, they're just complaining, not making enough money. That doesn't make it. I can't compete with that.
Well, but you played in the NFL 8 years. That's a long NFL career. I mean, what's the average?
Two and a half.
So you have these guys that at any time an injury can take them out of the game. They're Tom Brady's going into his 20th year at 42 years old.
Yeah.
And that's
Well, that's such an anomaly.
Well, and for people to get confused and go, oh, everybody's got this big window to make all of this money, that's just not the case. Especially with running backs, they have such a short lifespan. If you don't make money while you're productive, you're not going to make that money. So that's a whole nother element. There's just so many human elements that as fans, we have a hard time wrapping our heads around and putting ourselves in the place of the owners and the teams mm-hmm. that are fighting the salary cap going, listen, I need to squeeze every drop out of this lemon that I can because we're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. And the player is going, I need to get everything I can while I can because this playing career is not guaranteed to be
five years. Yeah. I ask these holdout questions because I start to see the frustration of fans and you get to see the angst and then how quickly a fan will turn on a player because all they want to do is just withhold their services and get paid for what their production is.
Yeah.
To market value
yeah.
is what they're trying to do, like Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, because they know they're told by their agents, they're told by their coaches, and they're also told by their owners that you only have a six-year value yeah. shelf life. Yep. If you were told that, wouldn't you withhold your service in year three? Because your career is halfway over.
Yeah. We'll get back to this in the 8 o'clock hour. One of the things that was brought up on the Better You Day text line I want to get into, and we'll do it then, is what would happen if you got rid of the salary cap in football?
That would be great.
Would it make the rich richer? And would you have what you have in baseball where you have a bunch of bottom teams, or would you keep the same parity? We'll get back to this topic in the 8:15 time slot. So keep sending your thoughts in. Better You Today text line 55305. We need to get to hot and cool, your daily dose of positivity, some cool stories from around sports. And then we'll get into the Andrew Luck injury. There's another layer. Yesterday we found out it was a bone issue. Now it may be another thing. Wonder if he's going to be available for week one. We'll talk about that all next right here, Dusty and Cam in the Morning on the 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.